on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM. Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. Good evening. It is Wednesday, the 19th of June. Don't ask me how, I have no idea. And you're listening to Wednesday Words and Music with me, a houseplant murderer, former foxtrotter and author of The Walk, Emma Marnes. So I chose that. If you haven't heard that song before, it's called Rainy Day by a wonderful band called 10,000 Maniacs, who were in their sort of heyday in like the early 90s, because I am getting very, very, very sick of all the rain. It has been raining pretty much nonstop since, what, October last year. I'm very tired of it. Me and my husband bought some beautiful garden furniture, which we've sat on twice because the weather's been so foul. So I thought, oh, I know, I'll play Rainy Day. That'll be beautiful. And the weather's been absolutely charming all day. So that will teach me, won't it? So I stumbled across that particular band watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the 90s. 10,000 Maniacs. Their vocals you heard there were Natalie Merchant. She was 17 when she joined the band in 1981. And then she went solo in 93 and the band continued without her. So and they're still going to this day, as far as I know. So we'll leave that there for a moment and we're going to have a little bit of Oasis. But before that, we're going to have a bit of Ava Lee. Enjoy.
Sometimes he brings me down, sometimes he brings me joy. I want him around, but he's never in town. Can't make up my mind, oh no, no. When I love him, even though my friends say he's not alright, I know it's true, but can't deny he's on my mind. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. And there ain't no other that I put above him. I'm so mad about the boy. Oh, can't make up my mind about this guy. Sometimes he makes me smile, sometimes he makes me cry. Other guys have tried, but he's the one I like. I'm so mad about this guy. But I love him even though my friends say he's not alright. I know it's true, but can't deny he's on my mind. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. And there ain't no other that I put above him. So mad about the boy.
Sunshine beckons to ya, and your wings begin to unfold. The thoughts you bring and the songs you sing are gonna keep me from the cold. And if a sword is hidden among you, and its words may wound my soul, you can't fill me up with what you got, cause my heart's been a-keeping on. She is love, and the ways are high and steep. She is love, and I believe her when she speaks. Love, and her ways are high and steep. She is love, and I believe, I do believe her when she speaks. You're in all my thoughts of passion, and the dreams of my delight. Whatever stirs my mortal frame, will you keep it warm at night? I don't know where you come from, I know I haven't got a clue. All I know is I'm in love with someone who loves me too. She is love, and her ways are high and steep. She is love, and I believe her when she speaks. Love, and her ways are high and steep. She is love, and I believe, I do believe her when she speaks.
About you, but I absolutely love Oasis. They just crack me up with their like thoroughly bizarre behaviour between the two of them. I saw them. I did see them once at what's the festival in Chelmsford? Used to be V Festival. I saw them once there. It was amazing. I was very young and didn't appreciate what I was watching, which is a shame now. Before that, we had Ava Lee, Mad About the Boy. I love that song too. So keeping on our literary theme, this is a book show. Mad About the Boy was Bridget Jones' book number 3, I think it was, by Helen Fielding. And she has announced recently that she's writing another one and there'll be another film. If you're into the Bridget Jones sort of, what's the word? I can't think of the word, but you know the thing that I mean. You're probably all shouting the word at me now, but you know what I mean. If you're a fan of Bridget Jones, that's coming. So, but that is not actually our literary headline for this week. We have an entirely different one. Very, very exciting. So the Women's Prize for Fiction and Nonfiction was announced last week. It's the 29th year that we've had a Women's Prize for Fiction, and it was won by V.V. Ganeshanathan, I think I've said that right, and for her book Brotherless Night. She's had a long road to the Women's Prize in Fiction. She was longlisted back in 2009 for obviously an entirely different book, and she won it this year. So congratulations to her. I'm not going to attempt to say that name again. There was also our first ever Women's Prize for Nonfiction this year, which was amazing, and it was won by Naomi Klein for her book Doppelganger: A Trip into the Mirror World. Now this book is incredible. It's all about, you know, the digital space, the digital world, social media, AI. If you're interested in that sort of thing, I highly recommend that book, Doppelganger: A Trip into the Mirror World by Naomi Klein. First ever winner of the Women's Prize for Nonfiction, which is very, very exciting. Or maybe it's not, maybe only if you're as sad as I am, but I think it's exciting. I do like to see, you know, and nonfiction's cool. but lots of people read nonfiction. So anyway, we're going to have a little bit of Nora Jones. And then after that, we're going to go to our book review section of the show. And this week we are talking about Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. If you've read the book, if you've seen the film, if you've sort of vaguely heard of it, if you've had it on the bookshelf for 5,000 years, like I did, before you bothered to read it, then yeah, we're going to be talking about that in a minute. But for now, here's a bit of my lovely girl, Nora Jones.
Sunrise, sunrise, looks like morning in your eyes, but the clock's held 9:15 for hours. Sunrise, sunrise, couldn't tempt us if it tried, 'cause the afternoon's already come and gone. And I said, who? Something I could hide when I see we made it through another day. Then I say, who?
Nora Jones, I love her. I love her particularly because she keeps a piano in her kitchen. I happen to know this very odd fact, and I have a lot of time for that. Got a lot of time for people that have pianos in their kitchens, or pianos indeed just anywhere. Love that. So we are going to be reviewing Where the Crawdads Sing now, which is a 2018 novel by Delia Owens. She is a zoologist by trade, and this is her only novel. She's written various other sort of non-fiction wildlife. You know, we were talking about non-fiction before. She's written some non-fiction too. some wildlife stuff, some memoirs and that sort of thing. She's had a very storied life, grew up in the wilderness, which no doubt inspired Where the Crawdads Sing in some respects. And the way she writes about nature and about animals and about the landscape, and it's just incredible. So I really do recommend this book. This was one of those books. I read it in a couple of days, finished it, and then sort of sat around morosely like I'd lost a friend because it was just gorgeous. So this came out in 2018. Another one like last week's that I'd had for ages and just not read it. And then once I had finished it, I was like, oh God, what have I been doing with my life? I'm not reading this book. So essentially, Where the Crawdads Sing is about a young girl called Kaya, who is gradually, one by one, abandoned by all of her family. This happens early in the book. This isn't a spoiler. There will be no spoilers. This is a spoiler-free review. They live in like a little shack in the sort of marshes of North Carolina. And it's amazing because I've never set foot in the US, in any part of the US. The closest to America I've ever been is Northern Ireland. So nowhere near. But somehow I feel like just reading this book, I know this place because it's that good. The writing is that good. It's beautiful. And so Kaya is very little. She's 9 or 10 or something by the time both parents and all the siblings have left. And they just, you know, have had enough of the sort of stereotypical? The sort of quintessential, I suppose, for this type of novel, the drunk, abusive, nasty father who eventually is the last one to go. He goes to. And Kaya's left all alone. And that is the basic setup. You know, this is the very beginning of this book. And the story, the book, is a celebration, really. It's everything. It's a celebration of nature. It's a celebration of women's survival. It's, in a way, it's a celebration of solitude in a lot of respects. There's, you know, elements to it where you'd think, you know, she survives for years growing food, fishing, you know, going out in her little boat and getting what she needs. And you know, lots of people are, of course, are very much into self-sufficiency. And I would love to have a little bit more of a self-sufficient life in that respect, you know, growing and whatever, cultivating things at home. But it's incredible. It's a celebration of rural living. It's a family history story. It's a coming of age. But also, very importantly, it is a murder mystery. Because the book follows two timelines that do eventually meet and sort of catch up with each other and then go off into one. It's the story of Kaya from when she's a small child, but it's also in the present day, as it were. The town is shocked by this seeming murder of a local chap who went to school, or is a similar sort of age to Kaya, and it's a whole thing. Who are these people? The people that make the films made a film of this book in 2022, and it's got that beautiful actress, Daisy Edgar-Jones. She was in the adaptation of Normal People as well, Sally Rooney, great novel if you've read that. Normal People wasn't a film though, that was like a BBC miniseries. And actually, I think this, I'm surprised they made a film of it because I think it would have made an absolutely brilliant miniseries. Maybe they were. I mean, a whole 2 years has gone by and it doesn't take long now for things to be considered old enough to reboot, right? So, I loved this book for everything that it was. But I tell you something very interesting. And this is interesting. This isn't like me and my nerdy facts. This is interesting. This is tea, almost. I was reading about the author, Delia Owens, and her life. I say very, very interesting. To this day, Delia Owens is 75 now. Delia and her husband and her stepson are still wanted for questioning in the country of Zambia over the death of a poacher, a murder of a poacher. And I stress, she's not a suspect. I think she was at one point. She's not a suspect, but the whole family are wanted in Zambia for questioning over this murder, which is now a good couple of decades old, I think. There is no extradition treaty between the US and Zambia, so she's just merrily living her life. Now her ex-husband and, you know, ex-stepson, is that a thing? I don't really know. But they're no longer married anyway. But I found this out. So, she's actually a wanted woman, which I thought was fascinating. She's just kind of cracking on with life in the US and Zambia would quite like her to come back and answer some questions about how she may or may not have known this poacher that was murdered. So incredibly interesting stuff. I could not give this book enough stars in the world. I really do think it is an absolutely marvellous, marvellous book. I really recommend it. I hope that you go run off and read it immediately because nothing would make me happier. And I think that's... Oh, I tell you what was interesting as well. Crawdad is slang for crayfish, apparently. I happen to love crayfish myself. I thought that was... I've never heard the word before and I had to look that up and find out what that was all about. And apparently there was, after this book was published and after the film came out, a surge in people Googling what is a crawdad. And you, if you've eaten crayfish, you'll know the chances of them singing is very unlikely in life and indeed in death. But I highly recommend, highly, highly recommend Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. It's a fine, fine book. Right, I think that's enough wittering for me for now. I just had a little moment. So I'm quite new. This is still only my second show. I just looked down at the desk and saw a toggle up and thought, oh my God, I'm talking. They can't hear me. No, no, you can. Different toggle. Oh, learning. Okay, anyway, let's have a little bit of some lovely, lovely music now while I recover from my absolute love fest for Delia Owens and everything that she is as a woman and a person and a zoologist and an author. And then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more.
I've been driving for an hour just talking to the rain. You say Papa may have,
But God bless the child who's got his own. Who's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't.
Phoenix FM.
He walked down a busy street, staring solely at his feet, clutching pictures of past lovers at his side. Stood at the table where she sat and removed his hat, in respect of her presence. Presents her with the pictures and says, these are just ghosts that broke my heart before I met you. These are just ghosts that broke my heart before I met you. Opened up his little heart, unlocked the lock that kept it dark. Read a written warning saying, I'm still mourning over ghosts, over ghosts, over ghosts, over ghosts that broke my heart before I met you. Lover, please do not fall to your knees. It's not like I believe in everlasting love. He went crazy at 19, so he lost all his self-esteem and couldn't understand why he was crying. He would stare at empty chairs, think of the ghosts who once sat there. The ghosts that broke his heart, oh, the ghosts that broke my heart. The ghosts that broke his heart, oh, the ghosts that broke my heart. The ghosts, the ghosts, the ghosts, the ghosts, the ghosts, the ghosts, the ghosts that broke my heart before I met you. Lover, please do not fall to your knees. It's not like I believe in everlasting love. He says, I'm so lost, not at all.
Lovely Laura Marling there with Ghosts. She was in a band, I don't know if she still is in a band called Noah and the Whale, but I love her solo stuff. I think she's absolutely glorious. We also had Eva Cassidy's cover of God Bless the Child. I sang that at somebody's wedding last weekend, but it wasn't Eva Cassidy's cover of God Bless the Child. It was Eva Cassidy's cover of Hallelujah, I Love Him So that I sang at somebody's wedding, because a couple of glasses of wine at a wedding and suddenly I turn into that woman from Saturday Night Live that goes, don't make me sing. And Breathe, Michelle Branch, my sister. I don't know if she's listening. She lives in Norfolk. She's very busy. She has lots of children. But she used to love Michelle Branch. And that's one of the songs that's always really stuck with me from hearing her play it in her room. So a bit of Michelle Branch there. When I was looking up headlines for this week, one thing I did overlook to my absolute shame is that the 16th of June, which was only Sunday, just gone, was Bloomsday. And not just any old Bloomsday, it was in fact the 120th anniversary of Bloomsday, which is the day on which Ulysses, James Joyce's famously difficult, horrendous nightmare of a novel, if you've ever read it, it's the day that that is set. Ulysses is a huge doorstop of a novel, experimental, magnificent, difficult. But it does take place over one day, a little bit under 24 hours in Dublin. On the 16th of June every year in Dublin, 16th of June is known as Bloomsday. And across Dublin, you can come across people dressed as the characters in Ulysses and interact with them. And they kind of, if you go around parts of Dublin from around the right sort of time of day that it would be in Ulysses, then you stumble across, you know, the likes of Stephen and what have you, and the whose funeral was it now? Paddy Dignam's funeral and that sort of thing. There is a apparently some footage on YouTube. I've not looked at this, so don't quote me exactly, but apparently there is some very, very archaic footage of Flann O'Brien and Patrick Kavanagh from 1954 celebrating Bloomsday by starting drinking at 8 o'clock in the morning and were absolutely plastered by about 11 o'clock, which was the time of Paddy Dignam's funeral. I'm not sure they made it. But it is, it's an extraordinary day, actually, in sort of literary culture and in Dublin itself. I managed to do one Bloomsday in, what year would that have been now, 2019. I lived in Dublin myself between 2018 and 2019. I did a master's at Trinity College in Irish writing, of course, of course. Ulysses was on that syllabus. It was also on the syllabus of my bachelor's degree in English literature, which is where I studied it the first time, which is how I ended up in Dublin studying it the second time, because some people are just a glutton for punishment and some of those people are sat here right now talking to you through your radio. So I did happen around Dublin on that day. I was actually very busy trying to write my thesis at the time, so I wasn't in a financial or spiritual position to wander around, take full advantage of all the pubs being open at 8 o'clock in the morning and that sort of thing. But it is an extraordinary day, and if you haven't read Ulysses, give it a go. I guess give it a go if you feel like it's the sort of thing, if it's a challenge you feel like you might enjoy. I would recommend buying a guide, I think there's now, what's it called? Ulysses Annotated. I can't remember who wrote it, but that is the one. Have that, and it's a little guide that tells you all of the notes, all of the references, all of the things. Obviously, it's quite, by its name, you may have guessed, it runs sort of parallel in a very loose, and I say parallel in a real, like, it's not really. It's parallel, like, you know. No, I can't think of something clever to say right now. I'm very tired. I have a toddler, if I haven't mentioned before. I'm exhausted. but anyway, the Odyssey, Homer's the Odyssey. So there's various references and things like that. It kind of is a modern retelling with a lot of extra detail. It's a really simplified way of explaining what Ulysses is. So the 16th of June, bear it in mind. I have a lovely friend, my dear Casey. I met her at Trinity College. I met her on like the third day or something at the library tour, and she is incredible. She's an author as well, but she's I think she published her first novel when she was still in the Canadian equivalent of secondary school. She's amazing, and she was doing her PhD on Ulysses, which obviously she's now finished, and she helped launch a line of Bloomsday merch, and at the time I was pregnant with Melody when that would have been Bloomsday 2022, and they had made a little vest or a little baby t-shirt that said my first Bloomsday. And it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't have the like wherewithal to actually buy that for my child at the time. But anyway, so Bloomsday, give Ulysses a go. Write in to the show if you can be bothered to give Ulysses a go, or if you just want to tell me that I'm insane for recommending it to people. I probably am, to be fair, because it is a bit of a nightmare. So anyway, let's have a little song from a bit of Dublin royalty, and then it will be time, unbelievably, to say goodbye and have our song for this week's missing listener. This is The Commitments. Bye bye, baby.
You know you took my heart in a broken apart. But little baby, yeah, I did it all to die. You know you took my love, threw it away. You're gonna want my love someday. Well, my baby, well, I thought your love was
FM.
Hello. Welcome back to the end. I can't believe it. We are almost back at 7 o'clock, which means it's almost time for me to go and have dinner with my mum, which is something nice that I get to do when I've finished my radio show. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining me again today. It's been very fun. So a little peek behind the curtain, if you like. I've been on my own today in the studio, which has been very exciting and very scary. But it's fine because I was very well trained by the lovely Gareth and Jo Bailey, who is an absolute joy. She does the drive show before me, and I would be nowhere without that woman. Definitely not here, because she was the one who said, "Do you know what, Emma, perhaps you should have a radio show?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." Yeah, thanks, Jo, for making this all happen. Do stick around for the next show. It is the Orient Hour with Andy Gilson and friends. You can probably guess by the title of that show who they are and what they do. That's right, they are a band of Crystal Palace supporters. No, they're not. They're Leighton Orient supporters. And they're lovely. So if you're football fans, do stick around and listen to them. If you are football fans, indeed, this is a very exciting time for you, I'm sure, because the Euros are happening. This is embarrassing, because I used to be a sports journalist, and I still do a little bit of writing here and there. I had a couple of pieces, I don't know how, a couple of years ago. Because like I said, I'm a mum, I'm very busy, so I write one piece every like 18 months or something. But I just fell off the football wagon. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened, but just football completely disappeared from my life. Which is, you know, it happens. I suppose we get older. I'm not old. We get older and our tastes change. But enjoy the Euros anyway, if it's something that you're interested in. Good luck and Godspeed with that misery. So if you listened to the show last week, you will know that the last song of Wednesday Words and Music with Emma Marnes every week, we dedicate our last song to a missing listener. Last week we had a bit of Pink Floyd from my dad, who passed away last month. And this week we have a song requested by Nicole for her granddad Ray. It's Every Day by Buddy Holly. It's gorgeous. We're just going to play it. We're going to play it in just a second. Do let me know if there is a missing listener of any kind, whether that's someone who has passed on or someone who's very rudely gone like traveling or something and is living their best life and you're really annoyed about it. For whatever reason they're not available to listen to the radio, please contact me on any of my social media or contact the show at Phoenix Phoenix FM on Twitter, Instagram. You can contact me at Emma Marnes on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. I'm sorry. It's stupid. It's called Twitter and that's the end of it. At Emma Marnes _ author on Instagram. Also, you can let me know if there's a song you'd like to dedicate. So anyway, as I say, thank you very much, Nicole, for letting us know about this beautiful, beautiful song. This is Every Day by Buddy Holly for Nicole's granddad, Ray. Speak to you next week.
Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day it's a getting faster. Everyone said go ahead and ask her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer, every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. A little longer, every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Love like yours will surely come my way.